Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 607th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the message today is titled 2023 Endgame Update Number 23. And a bit later in this message, folks, stay tuned, because we're going to tie it all into what the Bible has to say about the World Economic Forum's New World Order, better known as the Great Reset. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 2, verses 4 and 5, he, that's God, sitteth in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, and then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So stay tuned to learn how powerful, folks, Psalm 2 actually is, as it speaks of a time when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be put on his throne. But beware, because God also has something to say concerning those who cast away the Lord Jesus and say you just don't need him. The bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people, and we're passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity, and stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into the new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, this all got started with the lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's look at something from last week's episode before we dive into the new stuff. Now, last week, we talked about this unusual weather, these events that are happening all over the place, and how they're being used to create food shortages. Too much rain when the farmers need dry ground to plow and prep for the seeds. No rain after they get the seeds in. And that's what's happening here in Western Pennsylvania, and there's stories all around the world. We talked about that last week. And then, folks, what we did is we played a clip from the 60s, I believe it is, done by none other than the Disney Studios, concerning weather control. Let's have a re-listen to that.
The world of tomorrow and the instruments of science which are shaping it may seem remote and fantastic, but yesterday's fantasies are becoming today's facts. How will these great advances influence and benefit our personal lives? Here in this film is an answer. The storm is over. The danger has passed. The hurricane has been defeated, turned away from the land, and left to spend itself harmlessly far out at sea. In the world of tomorrow, weather control will enrich and safeguard our daily lives. In the foreseeable future, we will conquer more than violent storms. We will turn the destructive elements of today into new sources of power, shaping the land on which we live. All mankind will benefit. Arid wastelands will be made green and fertile. And vast frozen areas will become productive. To this end, man-made satellites will probe the secrets of the sky. They will be our eyes in outer space.
And all I can say is hooray for Hollywood. Wow. You know, it sounds so wonderful. But remember, if they could direct that hurricane out to the sea, like I said last week, they could direct one out in the sea to the land. And if they can do good things with this technology, conversely, they could do bad things. And then we listened to a clip from the Colbert Show. Stephen Colbert, he had a technologist on who started a company that wants to use chemtrails to control the weather. Let's listen to Stephen Colbert interview, I think it's David Knight. Let's just have a re-listen.
And use that to stop the planet warming up. And
Wait, ugly tech fix. You can spray something into the atmosphere to
spray pollution into the atmosphere to stop it warming.
How do you do this?
You start with a fleet of modified business jets and say 20,000 tons of sulfuric acid into the stratosphere every year. And each year you have to put a little more. And this doesn't, in the long run, mean that you can forget about cutting emissions. We will need to rein in.
No, we'll get to it eventually. In the meantime, we're shrouding the earth in sulfuric acid.
So people are terrified about talking about this because they're scared that it will prevent us cutting emissions.
Right, and also that it's sulfuric acid.
We put 50 million tons of sulfuric acid in the air now as pollution, and it kills a million people a year worldwide.
Okay, but it'll be better if we put more in.
We're talking about 1% of that.
1% more, we're just killing 10,000 more people.
You can do math.
What happens to the sulfuric acid after it's sprayed? Does it just stay up there?
No, it rains down, but it's a tiny addition of what we're already doing.
Is there any possible way this could come back to bite us in the ass?
It actually turns out to be an old idea. This was known since President Johnson.
You ever look at those planes up there? They have contrails behind them. Maybe all those planes with the contrails, maybe they're actually spraying chemicals into the atmosphere right now, and Uncle Sam isn't telling us.
Seems extremely unlikely.
The fact that the United States is not telling something to its citizens that seems extremely likely to me. Where are you so far? I think they might have your idea already.
So there you have it, folks. Revelation of the method. This is what the deep state, the elites, the one percenters, whatever you want to call them, have their minion, people like Stephen Colbert do. They get the information out there. They laugh at it. When you laugh at it, you can't take it seriously. Now, did you ever wonder how Stephen Colbert's rise to fame and popularity was so meteoric? I mean, how did he do it? Well, there are people out there suggesting that he's both a Satanist and a pedophile. And I know at first this may sound outrageous, but if you go over to this thread on Reddit, and it's a long one, but my good friend Seth and I were texting back and forth after last week's show, and he said, you have to check out this guy, this blogger named Mouthy Buddha. And there is a Reddit thread out there on Pedogate 2020. It was produced by Mouthy Buddha, and it's an in-depth mini documentary. Now, first it was on YouTube. It got over 500,000 views, and then YouTube takes it down. Then it moved over to, where was it? BitChute. BitChute takes it down because it violated community standards. So I did a little digging this week trying to find the clip because I wanted to hear how Mouthy Buddha called out Stephen Colbert, but I couldn't find it. But I did stumble upon this article titled The Pedocracy by David McGowan, and it's over at www.well.to, and then just search for it when you get there. And McGowan did this huge piece on the pedophile ring in Belgium. And it's insane. And at first, I needed to be convinced. I mean, I was all over the Pizzagate, 6 years ago? You know, the pizza shop and the way all the politicians communicate on their deviant preferences. And this is sick, folks. And if you have young children, you probably ought to ask them to cover their ears or leave the room. So like I said, I was skeptical, and just before McGowan released this article, The Pedocracy, the FBI had a dump late in 2019. They had a data dump of 2 pages, pieces of the puzzle together, folks, and there was this McMartin preschool scandal. I don't know if you remember that, and there's these alleged tunnels that everybody was denying for decades, but I remember when I attended college at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, back in the 80s, I heard rumors about these secret tunnels between St. Vincent College, which was on the south side of Route 30, and Xavier Institute, which was on the north side of Route 30. Could it be? Could it be? Oh, you get the connection, don't you, folks? The cover-up of these pedo rings is beyond our comprehension. And my problem with Pizzagate and that whole narrative is it's only targeting the left. And this is bigger than the left. This isn't a left-right issue, folks. It's across all major political parties and all power rings, whether it's in corporate America, the NGOs, finance, the entire elite ring of movers and shakers. You know, the people that Klaus Schwab talk about that he has control over through his Young Global Leaders brainwashing center. Those people, those are the ones somehow linked to this. I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, but I can tell you this much, folks. This article by McGowan puts the pieces of the puzzle together, and it's huge. Now, halfway through the article, I was wondering if he does a 180-degree turn, because when he started this article, he was trying to debunk Pizzagate. But about halfway through, you start to say, wow, he may have had a change of heart here. Now, there's nothing concrete here. You can't say so-and-so did it and so-and-so didn't do it. But there's loads of circumstantial evidence, folks, and that's the point. And again, I emphasize that this Pizzagate is not a left-right paradigm. It's everybody in control. So these pedophile rings are much bigger, and they snare people in positions of power, wherever that power may be. And it's all part of what we've been talking about on here, and that's sex magic. But we have to keep moving. And it's time now for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with the coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, quantum pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic, they call it the great equal life, and they were all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to the coronavirus, and just say they know all their lives are mind control.
It is a big scamdemic, folks. It truly is. Now, we've been part of the truther movement, exposing Big Pharma for what they are for many years now. The bottom line is these people are unethical, money-grubbing, anti-human fascists. I don't know what else to call them, you know? And most people in the movement, they don't realize that it's much bigger than just the COVID bioweapon misnamed a vaccine. It's huge, folks. Did you know it's also unethical? No, not unethical. It's downright criminal with respect to the entire chemotherapy cancer industry. Did you know that? There's this bombshell piece out there by a Dr. Peter Glidden, and he exposes the chemo fraud scam, and it's big, folks. Now, this next clip that I want to play for you is an interview that Dr. Glidden gave, and it's a brilliant insider's expose on what the medical monopoly is doing with regard to oncology. It's a racket, folks. And it's bigger than even just the oncology. It's Big Pharma in general. Now, we talk about that all the time, but I don't think people realize just how big it is. Chemotherapy is not what you think it is. It isn't, folks. So let's have a listen to Dr. Glidden exposing the chemo fraud.
Doctor, let me talk about cancer a little bit. Various types out there. What are some of the things that you've seen in terms of your patients and what some of the things that you've been able to do?
A better thing to talk about in relationship to cancer, well, I will talk about that, right? A better thing to talk about, however, is the relationship between profits and cancer in the United States. There was a study that was published, I believe it was in 1994, it was a 12-year program, 12-year study. They looked at adults who had developed cancer as an adult, not childhood cancer, but adult cancer, right? And this is the main types of cancer that we get here in the United States. They did a meta-analysis of these people all around the world who developed cancer as adults for 12 years and were treated with chemo. And they looked at the results, and they published the results in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. And the results, 97% of the time, chemotherapy does not work. 97% of the time, it doesn't work. So why is it still used? It's one reason and one reason only, money. If you go to a medical doctor, an MD, with a sinus infection, and that doctor prescribes an antibiotic, he gets no financial kickback. Now, if he prescribes 5,000, you know, of that antibiotic in 1 month, the drug company that makes it might send him to Cancun for a conference, right? Mm-hmm. But he gets no direct remuneration. It's not with chemotherapeutic drugs, it's different. Chemotherapeutic drugs are the only classification of drugs that the prescribing doctor gets a direct cut of. So if your doctor prescribes chemotherapy for you, here's how it goes, more or less. The doctor buys it from the pharmaceutical company for $5,000, sells it to the patient for $12,000, insurance pays $9,000, and the doctor pockets the $4,000 difference. And there ought to be a law. The only reason chemotherapy is used is because doctors make money from it, period. It doesn't work 97% of the time. If Ford Motor Company made an automobile that exploded 97% of the time, would they still be in business? No. This is the tip of the iceberg of the control that the pharmaceutical industry has on us. We, most people, have no idea of this at all. Now, I wrote a book called The MD Emperor Has No Clothes, right? In my book, I have a bulleted list of 10 questions that every cancer patient should ask their doctor. 10 questions. I've had patients kicked out, literally, kicked out of the oncologist's office because the doctor was PO'd that the patient was asking them these questions. And these are just common sense questions. With cancer treatment in the United States, we have lost the war on cancer. We have lost the war on cancer. Why? Because cancer is not a reductionistic phenomenon. Cancer is a holistic phenomenon. And when you try to bring a reductionistic methodology like drugs and surgery to bear on a holistic phenomenon, you will completely miss the boat each and every time. You cannot do it. Medical doctors are like colorblind art critics. They can see that that's a boat. They can see the black and white outline, but they're completely blind to all of the colors and textures that make up the substance of the thing. It's no difference with cancer. The reason that people get cancer in the United States and the reason that we have completely lousy outcomes is because medical doctors are driving the research bus. When women get together and do a 5K run for breast cancer, all of that money, do you think any of that money goes to nutritional research? Do you think any of that money goes to homeopathic research or acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine or naturopathic research? No. All of it goes to drugs and surgery, which do not work. Now, why aren't those women running for selenium? If every girl in this country took 200 micrograms of selenium in one generation, we'd eliminate breast cancer by 82%. That's a big number. Why aren't we doing that? Because medicine in the United States is a for-profit industry, and most people are completely unaware of this, and most people bow down to the altar of MD-directed high-tech medicine at their own demise.
Shazam!
That's right, Gomer. Shazam. You know, like I said, there's nothing here that is anything more than for profit, okay? Dr. Glidden gave us both the how and the why that oncologists operate. The way and the why they do it is money. All you have to do is follow the yellow brick road. I love that one line in there where he said that their view on cancer isn't holistic, but rather reductionistic. And we were at a birthday party last night, and I was talking to a couple across the table from us, and the husband said, yeah, the whole business is nothing but cut, burn, and poison. And the average American's starting to wake up to this. And I love the other line in there where he said they are like doctors. Cancer doctors are like colorblind art critics. They don't see the whole picture. So it's all about money, folks, and it has little to do with health. Now, Dr. Glidden wrote this amazing book titled The MD Emperor Has No Clothes. You can go over to drglidden.com and you can learn more about it. But he takes over two decades of clinical experience as a naturopath, and he has verified holistic solutions to common medical conditions. And you know, folks, it's an eye-opener when you start to realize that the medical monopoly is using nothing but drugs to put Band-Aids over problems instead of treating these issues that people have holistically. And a vast majority, and I'm not going to put a percentage to it, but a vast majority of all the health problems we have today are because of what we eat. So I hope this book is something you look into, and I hope it stimulates real social change on just how corrupt our medical system is and how medicine and the practice of it has to be changed if we want to truly have our health. And if you don't have your health, folks, you don't have anything. I mean, there are so many sacred cows out there. For example, did you know that cholesterol is actually good for you? In fact, your brain functions on cholesterol, and these statin meds that the doctors push because of big pharma to lower your cholesterol is a likely cause of Alzheimer's. That's a medical fact, folks. And of course, chemotherapy with a 95 to 97% failure rate. We all ought to know that by now. But did you know that heartburn is actually caused by a lack of strong stomach acid? Not too much. And I could go on and on with these things. How about salt? Did you know that salt's a necessary element in our diet to increase stomach acidity and to have good nervous network function? It's required, folks. Plus grain. Grain is a terrible thing because grain has been GMO modified. It has been changed, and it's not the same. Wheat is not the same as it was in biblical days. So you'd be much healthier if you cut out a lot of these grain-based foods. Now, some suggest that there are other good books out there, and I want to get into some of these by this man named Joel Wallach. They're supposed to be very good books on holistic medicine and a holistic approach to health. So I hope this rocked your opinion of the corrupt medical industry. In fact, did you know that there's a lot of people right now having adverse reactions to the jabs, especially the multiple jabs, and they're getting a brain disorder, encephalopathy, I believe is how you say it. And you know what most of the doctors are blaming it on right now? Toxic mold. So if you go out there and type in on a search engine, encephalopathy and toxic mold, you'll get all these presumptions. You'll get all these papers that presuppose, that suggest. Now type in encephalopathy and COVID-19 vaccine, and you'll see that about one-third or more of all of the adverse cases are affecting the brain. You can't make this stuff up, folks. It's the reality of the world we're living in. So like I said, I hope this rocks your world.
So doctors are getting paid to prescribe chemo drugs? What could possibly go wrong with that?
Oh, mystery person. Strange that you ask. Well, here's what could go wrong. There's this report out. I forget what network did it, but there's a whistleblower doctor that gave a whistleblower at the doctor's office who came out claiming that the doctor was giving chemotherapy to patients who don't have cancer. Now, why would you do something like that? Well, let's have a listen to the report, and then we'll cover it on the other side.
A Michigan office manager risked his career to expose a doctor who gave chemotherapy to patients who did not have cancer. Dr. Fareed Fata gave unnecessary treatments to more than 500 patients at a Detroit area cancer center. In tonight's episode of the CBS News series Whistleblower, host Alex Ferrer talks to the former office manager who stepped forward to expose the man responsible for this.
I couldn't believe what was in front of me. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
George Karace took a new job in 2011.
I was an office manager for an oncology practice.
Dr. Fareed Fata had a rapidly expanding practice in suburban Detroit. But within 2 years, one of the other oncologists and two nurse practitioners announced they were leaving. Karace confronted that other oncologist.
Are you leaving? And he said, yes. And I said, can I ask you why?
What the doctor told George Karace about Dr. Fata was a bombshell.
Patients were given chemotherapy and other treatments when they didn't have cancer.
Robert Sobere was referred to Dr. Fata by his back surgeon.
I heard he was one of the best there is.
I am Dr. Fareed Fata with Michigan Hematology Oncology.
Dr. Fata did a bone marrow biopsy.
2 weeks later, he turned around and said, you got multiple myeloma. It's a blood cancer, a bone-destroying disease.
He began monthly chemotherapy infusions.
I'd become weak, sick to my stomach, tired all the time. I couldn't walk anymore. The chemotherapy eventually destroyed all my teeth.
Sobere went to see a different oncologist. He was shaken by what he heard.
And he says, I've seen both biopsies. There's nothing that says that you had cancer anywhere in there. I was shocked. It was worse than hearing that you have cancer.
I was determined to have this doctor stop harming people.
His head spinning, George contacted an attorney he knew who handled whistleblower cases. George believed he might have a strong one.
We've heard a lot of strange stories about fraud, but that one was beyond fraud. It was cruel. It was criminal. It was risking people with poison.
David Heron wasted no time. He called the Department of Justice.
Without a doubt, this is the fastest and most intense lawsuit I've ever handled in this area.
George Karace was willing to put everything on the line.
My job was at stake, my livelihood, even my own personal safety. I wasn't looking at the patients anymore as being treated. I looked at it as a burning building with people inside. I had to make it stop, and I had to make it stop quickly.
Boy, thank you, Mr. Karace. Alex Ferrer joins us now at the table. Good morning to you, Alex.
Oh, good morning, Gail. How are you?
I'm pretty good, but kind of despicable behavior. How could he get away with this for so long without anybody knowing?
Well, you know, in private practice, doctors have little to no oversight. There's nobody there to really check what they're doing. And he would provide the chemotherapy in his office, so there was even less likelihood of getting caught. On the rare occasion that he did go to a hospital, it was before 6 a.m. or after 11 p.m. so that nobody would be questioning his medical decisions. It was the perfect fraud. And as a result, over a very short period of time, he subjected over 550 patients to unnecessary treatment.
Why? Just be money? Why?
Greed. Just greed. Total unadulterated greed. Using their body, their lives to pocket a few thousand dollars in every treatment. It's incredible.
I hear that attorney, you categorize it as, you know, he's seen a lot of bad schemes out there. This is the lowest of the low.
Well, I've been a police officer. I've been an attorney. I've been a judge. I've seen just about everything, and this still blows my mind.
Yeah.
That he would do it himself in his office, poison him, and then watch it happen.
Yes.
Despicable really applies.
It's an amazing episode.
Thank you, Alex Ferrer. But you only do amazing episodes.
That's all we do.
There you go. Whistleblower airs tonight at 8 p.m., 7 Central, right here on CBS.
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. And I can guarantee you that he's not the only doctor who's done this. Now, he may have been more blatant than some, but they are all driven by a financial motive here, folks. In fact, there's a website here. I believe it's in Pennsylvania. You could type your oncologist name in, and it'll come up with all of the kickbacks, and that's what they are from the big pharma for chemo treatments. You know, there are also patients that are being given dialysis that don't need dialysis, and it's all about money. But bottom line, behind that, For the elites, it's about population reduction. But we have to keep moving, and right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, Ka means salt. Wu means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lot. It's the Latin curve. The curve of your economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go good, bad. That is good. Up and down, like a dog. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all. Wake up before it's too late.
So let's face it, folks, anyone out there with eyes to see and ears to hear realize that these times are anything but normal. You agree? We're literally living in a dystopia, and it's being pitched to us as being good for us. You know, like you'll own nothing and be happy. You know, from the lie that COVID jabs touted as safe, but now proven to be anything but safe. Just ask Jamie Foxx, who suffered a stroke and other issues. And that's all coming out now, and it's being covered up by his family. And by the hospitals and by Hollywood. But he was forced to take a bioweapon jab by the Hollywood studio he was working for. And then let's look at the Uniparty's Fiscal Responsibility Act shoved down we the people's throats just last week, which is anything but fiscal responsibility, to these wildfires in eastern Canada. You know, Greg Reese did another great report this week on these wildfires. And there's something very suspicious there. And everybody's talking about the wildfires now and the air quality issues. But there's something much more nefarious going on here. Let's listen to Greg Reese's report on what's going on in South Quebec.
During the biggest fire catastrophe in Canadian history, on June 2nd, there were over 100 forest fires in Quebec, with 10 of them out of control. The province's fire prevention agency says it only has the ability to fight 30 fires. This massive outbreak of fires was captured by longtime geological watchdog YouTube channel, Dutch Sensei.
There's last night. Here's today. All of southeast Quebec just caught on fire, guys. All of it. Insane. Insane. Look at that. The whole thing. All at once.
Michael Janich of the Dutch Sensei channel has been monitoring earthquakes and other geological activity for years, successfully predicting earthquakes and issuing warnings when the USGS won't. Janich has often reported on fires that break out along the edge of the plate craton, or fires that break out around volcanoes.
All the way across central Mexico from over here, following all the way across over to here. All fires, all at once, all yesterday. Not normal. We don't normally see this. So that being said, I want to just show you what's there, and we'll just go zoom in from over here all the way across to here. Let's just zoom in the middle. Well, we could start over on the left side, or in the middle, you'll see a bunch of little dots on the ground. As I zoom in, you'll see they're changed from dots to actual volcanoes. These are all volcanoes, every single one of these, the big ones and the small ones.
And he's captured images of what appears to be directed energy weapons sparking California wildfires in 2020. But the fires from last week were not along the edge of the craton or near a volcano, as far as we know. The only other explanations would be that it was man-made and there was no sign of a directed energy weapon.
Not just a Canadian forest fire problem anymore. I'm going to have to say it, guys. It looks like you got a problem going on up there that might be related to, I don't know. What do you think? You think that these fires might be related to, I don't know, what do you think, terrorism, directed energy weapon, war, the Russians, Chinese, what, ourselves, all of the above, wouldn't ever, this level, you're going to burn out everybody, you're going to burn out all the natural wildlife and everything, come on, man, even if you're an anarchist or something, come on, guys, look, dude, I don't see you burning down the Federal Reserve, not that you want to, I'm not telling you to, I didn't say that.
There was evidence of arson in the American West Coast wildfires, and U.S. climate czar John called out for his instinct rebellion mob to be more militant.
We have to fight on multiple fronts simultaneously. This is the biggest organizational effort that I think we have faced, certainly since World War II, but perhaps ever. We got to push more. We got to be more militant, maybe.
Just like California and Australia, these fires will be blamed on cow farts and human civilization. The captured government of Canada is telling the people to stay out of the woods. They are ignoring volunteer firemen and asking Trudeau for the military and foreign workers to rebuild. The New World Order needs an excuse to lock us down one more time, and this could be it. Burning people out of their homes is an old tactic used for stealing their land. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Now, we covered the Dutch Sensi website back in the day over on Tribulation Now before John went rogue with it. But nevertheless, I see climate lockdowns on the horizon, folks, due to bad air and global warming. But today, in the midst of this great awakening, they aren't fooling anyone anymore, and they can kiss my... I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, folks. These fires are not random acts of nature. Just remember that. When you hear people talking about it, tell them about this. Have them listen to this Reese Report, or better yet, watch it, because when you watch it, you can actually see it as Dutch Sensi's going through that and doing it. Fires don't simply start all at once like that. And when fires do, they get out of control very fast. I'm done with all of this criminal climate fraud. I am. I'm done with it. Now I regret that for years I underestimated the consequences of their master planning for this great reset. And I didn't put all the pieces together, from the AI and the transhumanism to this change. No, I understood all of this, but I didn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. This is all part of a master plan, folks, and I regret that. These massive fires here in These fires up in Canada are having an impact in southwestern PA today. They are. Terry and I noticed that here where we live in western PA. On Monday night, we went out to celebrate her birthday. And the air quality has been pretty bad here, very hazy, very overcast. It's clearer now. But on Monday evening, when we were driving home from Monroeville after celebrating Terry's birthday with a dinner and some shopping and all that fun stuff, Terry said, look at the sun in the sky. Now, it was heavy overcast, and the sun was this dull orange ball. It was sunsets around 9 o'clock here this time of year. This was about 6 o'clock, so the sun was still fairly high in the sky, and you could barely see it, but it was this orange ball. Yet these fires are hundreds of miles away from us. I'm just telling you this so that you can get a grasp of the magnitude of this. And you know what this all is, folks? This is nothing more, nothing less than trauma-based mind control. And I'm telling you, that stuff's real, folks. Stir it up. Stir it up. Get people scared. Tavistock taught how to do this. And they were very effective in changing public opinion. So they taught these neo-feudal overlords, whatever you want to call them, to simply keep repeating doom and gloom from whatever. And right now they're beating the drum of climate change. So our young and impressionable children are frozen in fear about the environment. There's a critical thinking shutdown by the masses right now, and it's being driven by fear. Let's listen to what Greta says in the trailer that we're going to play a little bit later in the show for the Plandemic documentary. Just listen to Greta. And the editors did such a great job. So they start with a clip from the news, and then Greta, then a clip from the news, and then Greta. So just listen. It's only about 15 seconds.
Mass psychosis.
I don't want you to be hopeful.
Environmental doom.
Fires.
I want you to panic.
Storms.
It will kill your children.
I want you to feel the fear I feel every day.
People are starting to wake up. They're starting to wake up.
Wow, folks. Now, that's amazing. And then when you couple that deliberate fear-based mind control on the masses with the realization that there's simply no justice in this country anymore from the blatant election fraud proven by Carrie Lake in all these cases where the judges just turn a blind eye to the outright thievery in our banking system. And don't get me started on what's going on between Biden and Trump. So something comes out from Congress on another corruption and a huge scandal in the Biden regime. And yet another indictment is filed against President Trump. And these are all fraud. There's no substance behind them. Plus the lies in the Ukraine, folks. And I can go on and on. Now, I know that for all of you in the know, this may sound like Captain Obvious. I know that. So call me Captain Obvious if you want, for all you red-pilled out there. But it still amazes me each and every day. And I've been red-pilled for over 30 years, folks. I can't get over the hubris. I can't get over the arrogance, the in-your-face attitude these people have. So why do we even need a justice system? And what good is the Supreme Court if they simply ignore it all? You know, at what level of corruption did they actually stop doing their job? So we have to look back and try to find out where that was. Was it when they turned a blind eye to the inside job of 9/11? Oh, and that was an inside job, folks. The Bush administration, in conjunction with the Israeli Mossad and a security system that George Bush's brother was a director of, I believe it was in that those Twin Towers months prior. Were they setting the charges? How was the Mossad actually involved? And there's a lot of evidence that the 9/11 Commission just totally ignored concerning this. But here is a report by an analyst, I think an ex-military. I don't have his name, but he's on one of those Sunday morning shows. And just listen to what he says, folks. Just listen to this clip.
But it wasn't done by the Muslims. It was done by a wild card, the Israeli Mossad, that's cunning and ruthless and can carry out attacks on Americans and make it look like Arabs did it.
That's the literal definition of a false flag. They didn't write that. That's a false flag.
That's not my conspiracy theory. That's the U.S. Army report
the day before, published the day before 9/11.
You can call me any name you want to call me. That's a U.S. Army report. They warned us. They were telling us what Israel is capable of doing.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
That's right, Gomer, but it isn't actually a surprise. It wasn't. 9/11 was an inside job, and I don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, but I do have enough information to tell you folks that these, you know, jihadist hijacked planes did not do that damage. And let's not even get going on Building 7. We've talked about all this. And, you know, the sad thing is that the U.S. Army warned us about this. The Army School of Advanced Military Studies issued a paper days before, and they were predicting that there was going to be an Israeli armed forces attack involving well-armed and well-trained operatives. And this was very serious. And it's out there. And it's in a pre-9/11 paper published by the U.S. Army. And it's titled American Troops Would Enforce Israeli-Palestinian Peace. So you go out there and you look at this. And you can see the Israeli or the Israeli Mossad connection to 9/11. Yet just a blind eye to all this. Yet we were warned. Now, what about the TARP bailouts of 2008 or the regime change that the CIA did in the Ukraine back in 2014 when they installed Zelensky as their puppet? Or how about the coup d'etat in the 2020 elections? JFK, 9/11, we talked about already. Epstein, weapons of mass destruction. Don't even get me started on the uniparty's control in Congress right now, folks. Have you ever noticed that all they do is argue over stupid things? That's what kabuki theater is, folks. And that's why we have the kabuki theater segment here. They never address the critical issues. How about the FBI spying on a seated president or the stolen election in 2020 or the scamdemic? Well, that's because Congress is not an independent arm of our government, nor are they actually that powerful. They've been neutered, folks. The power resides in those who print the fiat-based money. It does. So Congress, they're just useful idiots. And the masses, the goyim as they call us, still believe that we can spread freedom and democracy all over the world if we just take our way of life and put it upon everybody else, impose it upon everybody else. So they send our children off to fight for democracy as the corporation that's known as the USA tries to convince Arabs and Asians and Russians all over the world that we are God and we're killing them for their own good. That's what's happening, folks. Now, don't call me anti-Semitic when I tell you all of this and tell you that Israel's behind it. You know, there are these Talmudic wackos out there, whatever you want to call them, nut jobs like Kerry and Schwab. You heard what Kerry said. We've got to get more militant. Soros, Bush, Osama bin Laden. You know, his family was friends with the Bush family. And then there's the Clintons. And how about the advisor to Klaus Schwab, that Noah Yuval Harari? And the coven of all the other Kabbalists out there. They all need to be arrested, folks, and perp walked and then tried. And after being tried and found guilty for crimes against humanity, then their executions need to be televised on international television as they're marched out in front of a firing squad for treason and crimes against humanity. That's how serious this stuff is, folks. But it has to be done legally and it has to be done lawfully. And speaking about crimes against humanity, this next clip, folks, is of a former president of the Club of Rome. And he was also a UN executive director on the environment, I believe it was. And his name is Calin Georgescu. And this clip just came out about 2 weeks ago. You can find it on YouTube. It was uploaded to Twitter. It's also over on a few of the other social media sites. But listen to this former insider tell you what really happened with the Trump upset of the 2016 presidential election. And then, folks, here's where it gets really interesting. What Calin does is he links it all to this global pedophile network. You can't make this stuff up. Let's have a listen.
The problem is that the UN agenda is the same with Davos agenda.
Mm-hmm.
This, in fact, is my main topic for our conversation today. For this reason, this oligarchic, the world oligarchic system, they have the power on Europe because they control all the people like Bundeskanzler or president or prime minister or whatever there are.
So
for this reason, sorry to interrupt you, the situation with Donald Trump was a big shock.
They didn't expect that to happen. That was an accident, I suppose.
Absolutely an accident.
Not part of their game plan.
It was the first time of the oligarchy system was happened an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally it have to be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the process which we are dealing now with this pandemic and all these liars was supposed to be in 2016.
They were pushed into...
Exactly. In a sense, to be in 2020, to be a disaster regarding food and water.
Ah, I see.
Which normally they want to arrive in 2025 now.
I see.
So the plan was a little bit changed. And for this reason, of course, they will not succeed. This is clear. I mean, the system is almost down.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are the last moments, and we have to be, to have the courage now, all of us, to say no, in a sense that UN could be a fantastic, can have a fantastic role, but is not, because it's totally under control of the oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that these oligarchs, all of them, are related with the system of the pedophilia one, because we know that there are more than 8 million children per year, which they disappear. 8 million does mean the entire population of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
They disappear without any information, mm-hmm. simply like that. And this is the transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
So this criminal act is have to be stopped.
8 million children per year go missing, folks, and are never heard of or found ever again. 8 million, more than the population of Austria, folks. And that, yeah, you know how, this is what's so sad. Do you know how the mainstream media reports on it? Well, here's how the mainstream media reports on this crime against humanity. That's right, folks. They don't. So you heard what he said. The Trump victory in 2016 was a total upset. It was an anomaly. It shouldn't have happened. Their cheating wasn't sufficient enough to control the vote. So they had planned the pandemic for 2016, but then Trump stopped it. And 2020 wasn't supposed to be the pandemic. 2020 was supposed to be the food and water crisis. But now that's been pushed off to 2025. So it's all linked to pedophilia, folks. That's right. These global elite are all linked one way or another to the satanic pedophile network, where millions upon millions of children each year are trafficked every year into sex slavery, rape, torture, and the harvesting of their precious adrenochrome. These elite pedophiles who rule this world, and boy, I'll tell you, God is looking down upon them with derision right now, folks. They traffic children worldwide, and many famous people are involved in this, folks. And I can go on and on this, and we're going to cover it more in some later segments in the show, but right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for our segment titled Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You want to see the river, the wonderful river of Oz. You'll find the end of river, the river, if ever a river was. If ever a river, a river was, the river of Oz is one because the cause of the wonderful things he does. You want to see the river.
You know, folks, if you ever want to find out who's behind the curtain, who's the man behind the curtain, just follow that yellow brick road. For the love of money is the root of all evil, folks, and that is God's truth. Now, the average American is waking up to the fact that the U.S. dollar is fading as a supply and demand on the currency actually dips. So the BRIC nations are behind this, and the U.S. petrodollar's dominance is actually at stake right now as China grabs a larger share of the international pie. In fact, in the first quarter of 2023, in spite of all of their draconian lockdowns and all the upsets to their economy, China's GDP grew by 4.5%. That's very powerful, folks. And what we see going on right now is the unfolding of Operation Sandman. As the dominance of the dollar is being questioned by these BRIC nations. And by the way, they just had a big meeting in Russia. And again, the media hardly covers it. But 80% of the world's population is covered by the BRIC nations. So we've got this stinking thinking with the Western mindset that, you know, the great U.S. Anglo power grid is just so powerful. Well, it actually isn't, folks. The BRIC nations want their native fiat currencies, and they're going to try to couple them to gold somehow. There's massive buys by both Russia and China right now of gold. And they want to have this new basket of currencies. And they want this to dominate the global stage and to bring down the petrodollar. So the central banks around the world are talking about launching the CBDC, and we've got the BRIC nations trying to undercut the dominance of the U.S. petrodollar. Oh, and then guess what? The BRIC nations are contemplating inviting Canada and Mexico to join. And this, in a nutshell, is Operation Sandman. We've talked about it before. So the debt ceiling bill has passed, or I should say the lack of debt ceiling bill, you know, the Fiscal Irresponsibility Act. But guess what? The Treasury has to sell bonds, so to speak, or stock, you know, to raise cash. And Yellen was crying that she's going to run out of money by June 5th, and she has to raise trillions by selling these bonds that she now has permission from Congress to do. But there's a little catch there. Somebody has to buy the debt. So right now there's 100-plus countries selling treasuries at the same time the U.S. is trying to print more treasury bonds. So how's this going to work out? And couple that with Saudi's new threat to wage economic war upon the U.S. by further cutting oil output by OPEC. Now, there's a simple and quick solution to that, but Biden will never do it. Just open up the U.S. oil industry again. Open it up. And that all goes away, folks. But that's not going to happen, and this is the making of the perfect economic storm. And it's all happening while the average American thinks Congress saved the day with the Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023. And that's what it is, folks. It's utter lunacy. So for those of us who are red-pilled, just buckle your seatbelts, because I see a serious economic storm on the horizon. It's going to be one of those classic nor'easters, you know, the perfect storm where it all comes together. And it's not going to be pretty, folks. So please, please prepare. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Outer Limits segment.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, this next story may sound like a scene, literally a scene from the Outer Limits, but I assure you, folks, it's real, and it's all part of the Luciferian agenda to achieve what's now being called the Great Reset. Now, it used to be called the New World Order, and a bit more on that later in the show. And before that, it was called the Third Reich. And before that, well, you get the point, don't you? Man has been trying to do this all the way back to Cain and Abel. And then don't get me going on the Tower of Babel. So Pizzagate and the harvesting adrenochrome from children are just conspiracy theories, right? Wrong, folks. Now, the Wall Street Journal revealed that Instagram's algorithms have actually literally been promoting child abuse material and pedophilia and helping pedophiles all around the world to connect. This report was a joint investigation, the outcome of a joint investigation between the Wall Street Journal and academics from two major universities, Stanford and the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And what they discovered, folks, that the Instagram's recommendations based on the algorithms that the, you know, the engineers design are actually helping pedophiles find accounts that actually peddle this illegal and, I'm telling you, disgusting material. So these perverts communicated freely between one another using emojis to avoid being flagged and caught. They use things like a map emoji. MAP, are you making the connections yet, folks? Major attracted person, you know, better known as pedophile. I said that wrong. Minor attracted person. Or how about the cheese pizza emoji for child porn? Cheese pizza, child porn. So let's do a little critical thinking here, okay, folks? Does that make Mark Zuckerberg a facilitator for child pornography? Now, on the other end of the spectrum from Mark Zuckerberg, so you have Zuckerberg over there who owns Instagram and who has engineers writing algorithms to connect all these perverts. On the other side of the spectrum, 180 degrees out of phase, so a champion for the children is none other than Christian actor James Cavell. Now, this trailer that he produced was actually released over 2 years ago, yet Hollyweird blocked its release and its distribution. But I'm telling you, praise the Lord, because Jim and his team, they never gave up. For 2 years, they essentially crowdfunded this documentary, and it's a major documentary, folks, and it's one of those must-watch types of things. But they have this scheduled to be released on July 4th. By the way, that's Independence Day, and how appropriate for the release date, since the title is Sound of Freedom. So let me give you a little backstory on this before we listen to the trailer. The Sound of Freedom is this movie or this documentary based on a true story of the horror lived by literally millions of those children that we heard, 8 million a year, more than the population of Austria. This movie, this documentary, covers these children who are being sex trafficked globally. And by the way, folks, this is a heinous crime. And it's already surpassed the damage caused by the drug trade. And yet I tell you, folks, this is how the media covers it. They don't. And then you have to ask why. So let's have a listen to this trailer from this amazing video. And this documentary, this movie, isn't meant to entertain. It's meant to inform. It might be a bit distasteful. And if you have young ears listening, again, I give you a warning. This may not be appropriate for everybody. So let's have a listen to the trailer from the official trailer from the Sound of Freedom movie, due to be released by James Cavell and his team on July 4th.
I don't think I can do this job, Tim. As soon as I lay down, all you see are those kids' faces. How long you been doing this? 12 years? How do you do it? It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It has already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it's gonna pass the drug trade.
Si no te mateo, tú rescatas niños, ¿verdad? Quizás puedas ayudarme a encontrar a mi hermana.
Imagine walking into a room right now, seeing an empty bed. What would we do?
Children's lives drift around in the sky.
We're Homeland Security. You know we can't go off rescuing kids in Colombia.
This job tears you to pieces. This is my only chance to put those pieces back together. We're talking about extracting an 11-year-old girl from an army of rebels. Not just her. I'm talking about rescuing hundreds of kids. She could be a block down the road, or she could be in Moscow, Bangkok, L.A. Over 2 million children a year are being sucked into the deepest recesses of hell. We do nothing. Someday it's gonna reach the likes of you. What if this was your daughter?
Wherever I go, I find my way home.
Folks, this is a real horror, and it absolutely exists. Like I said, Pizzagate was real, folks. So I salute Jim and his team for drawing attention to what both Hollyweird and the mainstream media deliberately suppress. Now, the real question you have to ask is, why is the mainstream media suppressing it? And why do people like James Colbert actually try to mock it and laugh about it when in reality it's true? Why does Hollyweird deliberately suppress sex trafficking in general and child sex trafficking specifically? Remember the whole thing that came out with Harvey Weinstein? That wasn't even child. That was adult actors. And then how about all the young child actors that are now whistleblowing? Tell you why, folks, because they're in on it.
Really?
That's right, Alvin. They're in on it. Mel Gibson, who has been disparaged by so many in Hollyweird, had this to say about it. And oh, by the way, he's working on releasing a 4-part documentary on this. Here's a quote from Mel Gibson. "It's an open secret in Hollywood. These people have their own religious and spiritual teachings and their own social and moral frameworks. They have their sacred texts. They are sick, believe me, and they couldn't be more at odds with what America stands for." So it involves all sorts of things. And years ago, I heard a whistleblower named Arizona Wilder give her testimony to Camelot Television, I believe it was. And she talked about adrenochroming innocent children. So what is adrenochrome? Well, if you have any children in earshot, again, here's a sensitivity warning. This isn't appropriate for young children. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so what they do is they kidnap these children. And like we heard in the previous report, up to $8 million per year, surpassing the illegal arms trade and soon to pass, and it has passed, the drug trade now. Remember, that trailer was 2 years old. So when a child is kidnapped, they're scared to death, and their body begins to secrete adrenaline. And this is a terrible horror, folks. And these federal agents, the good guys in the federal government that work for the federal government, they see this. They witness it. And that's what the trailer was alluding to there when you heard the child speak in Spanish. So the child's terrorized and screaming, and the adrenaline increases as their blood flows. And this is where it's really sad, folks, but they are ritualistically sacrificed. And then their blood is collected to collect the adrenochrome. And I don't even want to tell you how they do it. But once collected, this adrenochrome-enhanced blood can be sold on the black market at exorbitant prices. And a lot of these global elite, and I'm not going to name any names, but they use this harvested blood for all sorts of despicable acts. Folks, when this all comes out, I'm telling you, there should be no mercy for the elite pedophile tyrants and all the people involved in this atrocity. That's how they control Congress. If they can't get you with some sort of perverted sex, they get you with money. And if they can't get you with money, they get you with drugs. And that's how they corrupt most of these Congress people. And that's how they corrupt most of the Supreme Court justices. And that's how they corrupt people in NGOs. And that's how they control you if you're one of the WEF young global leaders. That's how Stephen Colbert became so successful so fast, and so many other people. Now, we've talked about Elon Musk and Epstein, all the people on his list. It keeps coming out. There's more and more. But these people need to be brought to trial for the evil they perpetrated upon the innocent children of this world. Children deliberately terrorized for hours and sometimes days to increase the amount of adrenaline in their blood. And by the way, this adrenochrome is an oxidant or an oxidized product of adrenaline. And there are some papers out there and some research on it, but a lot's not known about it. But I'm telling you, this is a royal pedophile bloodline network. And try to control the world. Some people call them the Committee of 300. Call them whatever you want, but they use children as part of their ritual. And they view children as nothing more than livestock, like cattle or goyim. So if we continue to allow children to be slaughtered, if we continue to turn a blind eye to the rape and torture, there will be judgments upon our world and this country specifically. Remember, the Bible tells us that God hates six things. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 tells us that. I'm just going to paraphrase it here, okay? But he loathes with a passion eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, and here it is, number three, folks, hands that murder the innocent. Fourthly, a heart that hatches evil plots. I would say they're murdering the innocent and hatching evil plots, wouldn't you? And feet that race down a wicked track. Oh, boy, aren't they doing that? And a mouth that lies under oath. Oh, don't even get me started on all the perjury. And a troublemaker in the family. And then he wraps it all up in Proverbs 17, verse 15, where God declares, there is nothing I hate more than the condemning the one who is innocent and the acquitting of the one who is guilty. Oh, boy. Doesn't that sound like that's happening with the J6ers? As they are, you know, just railroaded through a criminal justice system. Yet the Antifa and BLM people were acquitted from all of the arson they committed as they burned the cities down. So we need to be fearless and hunt these elite pedophile bloodlines down and then legally and lawfully put them on trial. You know, the people that are controlling and operating these torture and rape and adrenochrome, child blood, sex trafficking, harvesting rings, whatever. Just imagine for a moment the terror in these innocent children, folks. And then picture if it was your son or daughter. Just picture it, folks. This is really happening to children all around the world. The evil is at the highest level. And we must stand up. We, the people, must stand up and end it. We have to totally eradicate it from our society. And we have to send a clear message to all of those who are evil in this world. Our children, God's children, are not for sale, and we're coming after you. But remember, folks, we do this legally, and we do it lawfully. And a very, very wise man once said that all good people must do for evil to prevail is nothing. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
So we've been covering a lot about this pedophilia network, but there's also another fantastic documentary that was just released by The High Wire, and it's called Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. And what I'd like to do for you right now, folks, is play the trailer from the Plandemic. This is a, and I hate the term, it's worn out right now, but it is literally a bombshell. Let's have a listen to the official trailer from the Plandemic. And by the way, this is the clip, this is the trailer I got, the Greta clip we played out a little few minutes ago.
Breaking news, the president declaring a national emergency.
The new stay-at-home orders.
We will shut you down.
Don't think you can get on a plane or a train.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
And we will take you to jail.
We've got to get them vaccinated.
Or we will keep you in a facility longer.
As the world was descending into synchronized tyranny, I began to ask myself, how did they get everyone to go along with this?
Feels so good.
I know.
Obsessed with finding the answer, I began studying every moment in recorded history where masses of people acted against their own self-interest.
The only mechanism that could explain what was happening in society,
screw your freedom, you're a schmuck,
was what is usually referred to as mass formation.
Here we are now with an economy in crisis, but with an incredible opportunity.
Unprecedented opportunity for a reset.
Your Royal Highnesses, distinguished heads of state and government, the future is built by us. We need a great reset.
When they say, you'll be happy, what they mean is, you'll be enslaved.
Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale.
Who masters those technologies will be the master of the world.
Those who control the data control the future, not just of humanity, but the future of life itself.
every aspect of our life has been infiltrated by people that do not have our best interests at heart.
There are forces using fear and isolation to induce mass psychosis.
I don't want you to be hopeful.
Environmental doom.
Fires.
I want you to panic.
Storms.
It will kill your children.
I want you to feel the fear I feel every day.
People are starting to wake up. We're starting to wake up. The world.
I'm seeing people come together from all walks of life, finally saying enough is enough.
We didn't come here for no reason. We have a voice, and we're here to share it.
We have to be the solution. We cannot rely on the media, the president, or whoever to fix these problems.
I would rather pick up cans on the side of the highway than to live out of alignment with my truth.
We're all being driven back to the dream.
As you see in the audience, Democrats, Republicans, white, black, everyone all in between, this is the example that they do not want to see, but they have no choice.
The masses of humanity have been slapped awake.
Open your eyes.
It's time to wake up.
This is the Great Awakening.
People cannot go back into the matrix now. A lot of people are trying to. They can't.
This is the Great Awakening, folks. And I'm going to tell you, this is a great video. I only wish there wasn't so much foul language in it. But now, for those of you who resonated with all of this and this analysis, the communism and the current Marxist revolution taking hold of our society, as well as how they use race and other differences to destroy us from within. There's a couple really good documentaries out there you might want to watch. They're called Uncle Tom and Uncle Tom 2. Now, my only concern is that the typical American out there's attention span's a little too short for this. It's long. In fact, that intro, if you watch it, it takes 8 minutes to get into the meat of this. And I just don't know, folks, if people are going to actually watch it for that long. That's the $50,000 or $64,000 question. But we have to keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, you know, folks, one of the most absurd things that any person or even group of people could ever do, you know what that is? Well, that's doing the same thing over and over again, yet expecting a different outcome. Some people call that mental illness. But that's exactly what these globalists and these Edomites and these Canaanites and the minion of Satan, call them again, whatever you want, the Luciferians. That's exactly what these power-hungry, money-grubbing shills are trying to do yet again. Now, I've been thinking about the Plandemic documentary that we just covered in the Hopium Report. And I love and respect G. Edward Griffith, and I greatly respect all the work he did. He's the man that opened my eyes to the corruption of the Federal Reserve over 30 years ago with his book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. But there's one thing that I hear so many people in this truth movement talk about, and that's the war of independence. Like we were standing on some righteous ground when we declared our independence from the awful British. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it's this gray zone, kind of like the Ukraine-Russian conflict of today. People forget that only 10 years before the Declaration of Independence, 10 years before, 20,000 British troops were killed, and the country of Great Britain was nearly bankrupted, fighting off the French invaders in the French and Indian War. You remember the French and Indian War? And also, I don't know if you knew it, but Great Britain banned slavery in 1772, and it was estimated that within the next 10 years it would have been banned in America. So, you know, that catchphrase, no taxation without representation, when you stop and think about the things that Great Britain had been doing for the American colonies with regard to protecting them against the French, working to end slavery, it kind of sounds a bit oxymoronic. And then when we say things like, we overthrew the people who lost 20,000 men saving us from the French who were here to invade us, you know, you stop and think about it. What is the real truth behind all this? Well, do some reading outside of the conventional mainstream narrative. You know, the Brits left the Native Americans alone for 150 years. Yet within 10 years after Independence Day, they were virtually wiped out from America with all sorts of despicable acts. You know, they would give the Indians blankets that were infected with smallpox. And we call this the land of the free. There was a Rosicrucian movement behind this. And the Rosicrucians were pushing for the expansion of the United States into Texas and California and Nevada and Florida. And all the long killing innocent people for their own good. And then they labeled this manifest destiny. And then the media talks about the American exceptionalism. And that's our excuse for genocide upon genocide all around the globe. And today, these occultists are now turning it upon we the people right now. So this is a great awakening. But let's be honest with it, folks. The foundations of this country were occult in nature. And we say, oh, it was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics. Yeah, there was a large portion of that, but the force, there was a couple really good documentaries. I'm going to have to dig them up. In fact, I'm going to take a note on that right now. The founding documentary on the split. There was a split between the Christians and the occultists. And I have to tell you this, after 250 years now, I think the occultists are winning right now. So the media likes to talk about our American exceptionalism, but it's nothing but an excuse for Pax Americana, as George Bush called it in his New World Order speech. Manifest Destiny, as I think it was President Monroe called it. What are some of the other terms for it? The New World Order. So they use these Marxist tactics like the LGBTQ agenda to impose their tyranny upon us. Call it whatever you want, communism, Marxism, fascism. It's anything but freedom. Now, here's the truth. You and me, folks, we the people, we're the majority. We are the many. They are the few. We're the powerful. They're the weak. We have courage. They have cowardice. There's truth on our side, folks, when they have nothing but lies. We have God to guide us and his word. They have darkness to deceive them. And once you learn this truth, as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. So when we look beyond the illusion, our entire perception of reality can change. And I love this quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn from Gulag Archipelago. I'd like to read this quote. It's very short. Unlimited power in the hands of limited people always leads to cruelty. And then two verses from the Bible that really sum it up. Malachi chapter 4, verse 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, folks, there's coming a judgment day for these wicked, evil, vile people that have poisoned the populace through jabs, that market 8 million children a year for their ritualistic, hedonistic, Hollyweird rituals, as Mel Gibson called them. And I can go on and on. The corruption of our money system, the corruption of our food supply, the monopolizing of our medical system. And then 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. But we have to keep moving, folks, and right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So this manifest destiny I was just talking about in the Absurdian Report is just another name for the New World Order. And the New World Order wants to turn everything upside down. Remember their motto, the Luciferian satanic motto is Ordo Ab Chao, order out of chaos. Now, I stumbled on this next clip quite by accident just yesterday. And it's an absurd exchange between Matt Walsh and a man who now identifies as a woman. So after we listen to this, after we listen to it, I want you to ask yourself a question. Are we even living in a world with any absolute standard of truth anymore? Well, I'll answer that for you before we listen to it. The answer is no. So let me give you the backstory on this before we play the clip. I believe it was on April 6th, 2023. And remember, Matt Walsh, he works for the Daily Wire, and he was giving a speech for the Young American Foundation out at New Mexico State University on this whole transgender movement. And during the question and answer section, session, this transgendered, quote-unquote, woman, this man identifying as a woman, asked a question. And now this video, posted after the actual event, what, 2 months ago? Has had over 5 million views, and it's growing. So let's listen to Matt Walsh discuss this whole issue of what a woman is with this man who thinks he's a woman. Are you ready? Here we go.
Hi, Matt. I'm transgender. I'm born and raised here in New Mexico. I have a graduate degree in information technology, marketing, business, and finance. I own my own home. I pay taxes. I have a six-figure job. I'm a respected professional in Albuquerque. I'm a mother. My life experience is that I'm an awesome person. I am well-liked. I'm responsible. And I think I'm pretty cool. You touched on something. You said something earlier that for you, when somebody calls you a man, it doesn't faze you because, like, you just know that you're a man. That was interesting to me because I feel the same way about my identity as a woman. My question leading up to this, you've asserted that no one would ever see me as a woman, that nobody would ever see or could see a transgender person as a woman. And yet, I have dozens of friends from diverse backgrounds, women from the reservation, a woman from Japan, several immigrant women. I have my coworkers, I have my boss, my VP, my CEO, all respecting me as a woman, my family, my long-term friends who are actually here with me. All of these people assure me, like, I'm a woman. They'll tell me, girl, like, there is no way you are a man. They see me as a woman. So the question,
okay,
how can you assert that nobody would ever see me as a woman when my material experience tells me you're wrong?
Okay. It's interesting that that's the part of my talk you chose to ask a question about, because that's not in my talk at all. I don't believe I said that no one would ever see you as a woman. I mean, it's possible, I suppose, that you could fool someone. Now, you brought this up, so I have to tell you that you brought this up. You've put your identity on the table for conversation. And so I'm going to say you wouldn't fool me at all. I mean, I see a man 100%. And I think that most people would. Now, the fact that you have people in your life who are saying to you, oh, you're totally a woman, it's exactly what I'm talking about. No one in my life has ever once said to me, you're totally a man, Matt. You know, if a friend of mine called me on the phone and said, listen, Matt, I want you to know you're really a man, I would think that there was something wrong with him. I would say, why are you saying that at all? It doesn't make any sense. So the fact that this is a conversation to begin with tells me, it only proves the point that I'm trying to make, that your identity, even in your own mind, is up for, it's something that you need to be assured of. Now, what I would like to ask you, again, because you're standing here, and so you've brought your identity on the table for discussion. So how do you know that you're a woman?
It was first when I heard transgender persons describe their experience in their own words. And this was only about 2 years ago. Hearing somebody describe things, it was a woman from like England describing her experience, her childhood, her teenage years. And it blew my mind to be listening to her because it was just some podcast that I was listening to while I was like doing laundry. But it blew my mind to hear somebody so eloquently and precisely describe things that I had experiences
what
that
was
I
the
had
description?
Experienced.
What did they say?
Okay. So I am honestly hesitant. I know that you touched earlier about the difficulty that transgender women might have in describing their identity, but I want to state I honestly don't feel that you would engage in this conversation in good faith.
Then why are you here? Why did you stand up to talk to me if you don't want to have a conversation? You're saying that you discovered that you're a woman. I'm asking you how you did. That's a very fair question.
Okay.
How do you know that you're a woman?
That's fine. All right. So first of all, listening to transgender people, and it was like, okay, this is a one-off, you know, one person describing these things. Things like looking at yourself in the mirror and not recognizing yourself, hearing compliments like you are such an example, like a positive masculine role model, and just hearing that and being like, you know, it feels like they're talking about somebody else. It means feeling alone, even when you're surrounded by guys, even when you have a lot of friends. And I was active in like Boy Scouts. I'm an Eagle Scout. I had great masculine role models my whole life, and yet I never felt like I belonged. I felt welcome. And
but why does that make you a woman?
Because
as opposed to just a man who doesn't get along with some other men, or a man who's depressed, or a man who doesn't feel at home totally in his body, which, by the way, is a pretty universal human experience. Everybody goes through it at one time or another. So in what way does that make you a woman, though? And it's interesting. You're telling me that you listen to the experiences of other transgender people.
Well, yeah.
But what about women?
So
trans women are women, you would say, right?
I would say that, yes.
Exactly the same?
Yes.
Okay, well, then why do you need to hear the testimony of trans, quote-unquote, trans women? Like, how you take any actual woman in this room, in what way do you know that you belong in the same category as them?
I know because they tell me. So here was the...
You need them to tell you what you are?
Women, yes. I trust the opinions of the women around
and
me.
If most
it's
women,
incredible. You might try it sometime.
If most women voted and said they don't see you as a woman, would you say I'm not a woman anymore?
If who?
If most women voted and said they don't see you as a woman anymore, would you then relent and say I'm not a woman?
I would say most people on the planet have no idea who I am. I'm going to trust the opinions of the people who've spent their lives with me.
But you are relying on other people to tell you who you are, is what we're establishing.
For context. I know you like to say everybody's rah-rahing and supporting transgender people, and yet they're still killing themselves, et cetera. But I'm standing here in a room full of people applauding you and asking questions like, how can I like put out legislation here in New Mexico, you know, my home state I grew up in, to try to reverse transgenderism? Like, I'm not safe. And it
how are you
wasn't...
not safe? You just said you're standing in a room with people who disagree with you, and you're perfectly fine. So how are you not safe? Look, we're going round and round. You don't want to answer any of the questions. Maybe we'll end with this because we're talking about womanhood. So people can probably shout out the question I'm going to ask you right now.
Okay.
But you know that you're a woman.
Yes.
What is that?
So gender is a social thing. It only
I don't
makes want to
hear
sense
that. What
so-
is a woman? What
no.
is a woman?
What is a woman?
The word woman, define in the dictionary. Go.
A woman is somebody who is included and respected and seen and participates in society, recognized by other women. If you speak with women...
Circular definition.
That's mine. Whatever.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Good.
Wow. Can you believe that? Like, I'm not safe. People tell me I'm a woman. And Matt just keeps asking, what is a woman? And there's these circular arguments. It's a tautology, folks. You know, when I was in college, we had speakers like Carl Sagan, and we discussed deep and meaningful topics like the meaning of life and the nature of the universe. And now, on college campuses, we're debating the definition of a word that's been established since the written language, man, woman. It was very clear in all cultures up to this time. Folks, if we don't stop reminiscing about this fake postmodern reality that the elites have used to indoctrinate all of us, we're soon going to be slaves in their new high-tech plantation. So we have to stop this now. Just stop it. And never forget what I said. We're the majority. We are many. They're few. We're powerful, folks. They're weak. We have courage. They're cowards. We have truth on our side, and they have nothing but lies. We have God to guide us, and they're being deceived by darkness. And once you learn the truth, folks, Jesus tells us that truth will set you free. So that's the great awakening, and just pray that this happens. And then we can look beyond this illusion, and our entire perception of reality will change. It's like that movie, The Matrix, folks. And never forget what Solzhenitsyn wrote in The Gulag Archipelago. Unlimited power in the hands of limited people always leads to cruelty. But we have to keep moving. I'm running out of time, and it's time for Back to the Future. The segment where we take something old and bring it back to the future. Now, speaking of unlimited power, folks, let's wind the clock back. Let's wind it back to January 10th, 1920, the day the League of Nations was founded. Now, that was a grab by the Luciferians for unlimited power. You know, unlimited power in the hands of the limited people. And what's that going to lead to? Well, as Solzhenitsyn said, always leads to cruelty. And praise the Lord, this attempt by the New World Order, folks, failed because it gave us time. Time to get more people saved. Now, the term the New World Order, it was used first by Woodrow Wilson. During this period, just after World War I, while the League of Nations was being formed. And, you know, they referred to that war as the war to end all wars. It was a powerful psyop with international politics. And they were using it to convince many in the world that we can no longer operate under this sovereign nation status that has been around since God created humanity. Now, Wilson was arguing for a new world order, which transcended all the traditional great power politics of the past. He was emphasizing a collective security, democracy, and self-determination. They all sound so good, don't they, folks? Now, fortunately, the United States Senate back then, before it was corrupted, actually rejected membership in the League of Nations. And Wilson, he was a deep state insider. He believed it to be the key to their new world order. There was this one senator, his name was Henry Cabot Lodge. And if you want to study somebody, study Henry Cabot Lodge. He argued that American policy should be based on human nature as it is, not as it ought to be. Now, just 8 years later, none other than the Nazi political activist, very similar in methodology to Barack Hussein Obama, and this is none other than German dictator Adolf Hitler, he used that same term, the New World Order, in 1928 as he pushed for the establishment of the Third Reich. Now, I like how the CIA-controlled Wikipedia defines this political New World Order, which they distinguish from the conspiratorial New World Order, but when you look at the two, they're both basically the opposite sides of the same coin. Now, this term, New World Order, refers to a period, a new period of history, evidencing, and this is out of Wikipedia, evidencing dramatic change in world political thought and the balance of power in international relations. Now, there's all sorts of varied interpretations of this term, but it's primarily associated with an ideology, a notion of world governance, only in the sense of a new collective effort to identify, understand, address political global problems that go beyond the capacity of individual nation states to resolve. That's their definition, folks. Now, let's move the clock up to 1991, September 23rd, 1991, and the location is the UN building in New York City, and the event is the UN General Assembly, and the speaker is none other than deep state insider George Herbert Walker Bush. And this is when he gave his New World Order speech. I don't know if you've heard this, but I learned about this back in my days with William Cooper. Let's have a listen to the infamous George Bush 1991 New World Order speech.
Options of freedom have lain dormant. The United Nations can offer them new life. These institutions play a crucial role in our quest for a new world order, an order in which no nation must surrender one iota of its own sovereignty, an order characterized by the rule of law rather than the resort to force, the cooperative settlement of disputes rather than anarchy and bloodshed, and an unstinting belief in human rights. And finally, you may wonder about America's role in the new world that I've described. Let me assure you, the United States has no intention of striving for a Pax Americana. However, we will remain engaged. We will not retreat and pull back into isolationism. We will offer friendship and leadership. And in short, we seek a Pax Universalis built upon shared responsibilities and aspirations. To all assembled, we have an opportunity to spare our sons and daughters the sins and errors of the past. We can build a future more satisfying than any our world has ever known. The future lies undefined before us, full of promise, littered with peril. And we can choose the kind of world we want. One blistered by the fires of war and subjected to the whims of coercion and chance, or one made more peaceful by reflection and choice. Take this challenge seriously. Inspire future generations to praise and venerate you, to say, on the ruins of conflict, these brave men and women built an era of peace and understanding. They inaugurated a new world order, an order worth preserving for the ages. Good luck to each and every one of you, and thank you very, very much.
Wow. No surrender of sovereignty. Tell that to the truckers and all the supporters of the truckers in Canada that had their bank accounts seized. Or tell that to the J6 protesters that still have not had a fair and speedy trial. Rule of law rather than force. Tell that to President Trump, who's a victim of this two-tier judicial system. Or how about the air of cooperation for the settlement of disputes? How's that working out with Ukraine and Russia right now? And don't even get me started on the belief in human rights when we just covered all these stories about the 8 million children every year that are disappearing. But the bottom line, folks, this whole drive for a new world order is actually nothing new. And Senator Cabot was right when he said that we should set policy to reflect the limitations of the human condition rather than the expectations or the ideals. You know, American policy should be based on human nature, as it is, not as it ought to be, folks. God warns us about the senseless attempts by man to establish this quote-unquote new world order. And in truth, it's actually nothing new. You can go to the dream that Daniel had in Daniel chapter 2. Remember, he had the dream of this, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this statue. It had a head of gold, and that was the Babylonian Empire. That was like 600, 700 BC. And then the breast and the arms of silver, that was the Medo-Persian Empire. That was a little later, 500 BC or something. I'm just roughly quoting times. And then the belly and thighs of brass, that was the Greco-Macedonian Empire of the 300 BC time period. And then the legs of iron, that was the great Roman Empire that went from about 160 BC to about 300 AD. And then the feet and toes of part iron and part clay, those were the kingdom of the ten toes. We had Italy, France, England, Belgium, Holland, Portugal. There was Austria. What else? I'm trying to do this from memory. Greece. There was one other, like Armenia maybe? I don't remember. But that's where we're at right now. So, folks, how do we apply this to the freaky deaky news headlines? Well, just released on May 30th of last year by Miles Flores, there was this article published by the Middlebury EDU website. It was titled The New World Order, Historical Origins of a Dangerous Modern Conspiracy Theory. Conspiracy theory? No, conspiracy fact. I'm just going to give you the executive summary. The New World Order conspiracy theory posits that a cabal of elites is working behind the scenes to orchestrate global events to enslave the global populace. Well, duh. The New World Order theory's anti-Semitic origins cause adherents to intentionally or unintentionally propagate harmful anti-Semitic narratives. Now, how many shows have we covered this anti-Semitism question? Are we talking about race, politics, or religion? Are we talking about the Jew, the Hebrew, or the Israelite? What are we talking about, folks? And then this final point from the executive summary. Social media companies must address New World Order content in their platforms for its potential to incite hate and offline violence. And all I can say to this propaganda piece, and this is truth, is wow, what lies and what hubris the author Miles Flores has. I mean, it's sick. Folks, the world's full of chaos and confusion right now, and who can deny that? This is all being socially engineered by the deep state, and it's happening right now as these Luciferians and their minion and the politicians they control and the too big to fail bankers and businessmen are planning for Satan's new world order that's been rebranded the Great Reset. Now, while these politicians talk about law and order, and that's all you hear, law and order, we're witnessing the opposite with this two-tiered justice system and what's going on with President Trump and Biden right now. And our Pax Americana agenda, come on, give me a break. It's not Pax Internationalis like Bush said. We are witnessing just the opposite. National maps are being changed overnight as nations rise and fall. And that is the truth, folks, with the CIA George Soros-funded color revolutions. You know, not too long ago, I was a young professional at PPG. The Berlin Wall fell, and it was supposedly the end to communism. And many people were going around and saying, well, I never believed that could happen. And we were just all astounded as we witnessed all this engineered upheaval. And yet there's just more and more chaos and more confusion. Now, remember, the Luciferian way is ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. Now, sadly, a lot of people, they wrongly believe that we're victors over the communist threat. And it all ended with the fall of the Soviet Union. But can anyone say Red China? The truth is, folks, we're not free from this collectivistic mindset where everybody's equal, only some people are more equal than others, you know, from The Animal Farm by George Orwell. So the truth is that we are still being played by these minions Just look at the situation in the Ukraine right now. And then we have BLM and Antifa here on the streets of the U.S. And now they're using the LGBTQ rainbow army of their mental misfits. And that's what they are, folks, mental misfits. Oh, and by the way, none of this is as simple as the media is making you think it is. Now, although Putin's no saint, and he isn't, I'm not saying this, okay? But he is saying no to the corrupt Western money system. You know, his country produces substance, commodities, one of the richest nations in the world with respect to natural resources. And that's a threat to the paper money system and their banking and cultural chaos. And that's why we have the conflict in Ukraine right now. So Russia's in turmoil. But remember, they had advanced nuclear weapons and these unstoppable hypersonic missiles. And Russia's known through all the ages back to biblical times as the Russian, as the bear. And a angry bear can be a very dangerous bear. And when that angry bear gets wounded, it could be unstoppable. And that's the danger right now with this international banking crisis and all of the chaos and confusion the world sees. Now, the reason we can't make a new world order out of all this chaos is, as C.S. Lewis said, you simply cannot make a good omelet out of bad eggs. Think about that for a little bit, folks. So the more you stir and season it and spice it up, it just gets worse because the eggs are rotten. And that's the human condition without Jesus Christ. So the truth is, it's almost as if we're looking down the muzzle of a loaded cannon. But behind it all, praise the Lord, is God Almighty. And St. James said it so well in Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning of the world. So what we need to understand is that in spite of all of this, it can make us very discouraged. You know, nations rising against nation, and all of the chaos in the money system and all of this fallout from the COVID bioweapon, as we see nations turning their pruning hooks into spears rather than vice versa, as they're supposed to be doing. And then in the realm of religion, we see all these false cults and this craziness everywhere, even within the Christian church. It's exploding in all sorts of bizarre new age ways, isn't it? And morality. Oh, boy, don't even get me started on that. It's a cesspool of iniquity right now. As sin abounds, these random flash mobs are murdering, raping, pillaging, and the big box stores are pulling out of some of these disgusting democratic cities left and right. And now we have adolescents being caught on security cameras doing all these despicable sexual acts in middle and even elementary schools. And why? Well, because they're being taught K through 12, all this perversion. Remember, we talked about the fisting. I can't even believe I'm talking about this stuff. And all the while, our corrupt politicians talk about the Green New Deal, carbon credits, and the Great Reset. But praise the Lord, folks. I'm telling you, God has a plan. He does. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 15, verses 17 through 18, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So I'm telling you, folks, God has a plan. He does. And it's been known from the beginning of the world. So he has a plan for the world. He has a plan for the church, a plan for the Hebrew, and a plan for the Gentile. And it's all known unto God. And I'm telling you, there's no panic in heaven. This isn't plan B. This has been plan A since the day God forged the universe. And we need to understand this. So let's look at what the Word of God has to say about the New World Order. Amen? Now, actually, this isn't a New World Order from the Great Reset that the Luciferians and their WEF-trained puppet politicians are planning. No. It's just more of the same old disorder that's been in the world since Cain killed Abel. And this chaos will remain in the world until Jesus returns, folks. And I can tell you that with all certainty. You know, St. Paul tells us in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, and I don't have the citation here, but he says that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. But not only creation, folks. We as believers the first fruits of the Spirit, also grown inwardly as we eagerly await to become adopted as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Amen? So not only is creation groaning, but we as believers, the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan. That's an inward groaning right now as we eagerly await to be adopted by God as his sons and receive our resurrection bodies. So here's why all this groaning is going on in the world right now as this satanic disorder and chaos manifests all around us. And here's what God's going to do to bring it all into order. First, the church has to be put in its rightful place. And the rightful place for the church, also known as the bride of Christ, is alongside her bridegroom. But right now, the church, the blood-bought and bathed bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't with her bridegroom. You know, St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste, pure virgin to Christ." So we're like that virgin bride waiting for her bridegroom at the wedding hall. We're waiting for Jesus to come again, this time as our king and our groom. Praise the Lord. Now, I can go on and on with this, but I'm running out of time. So read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And that's kind of like the engagement ring of sorts, okay? It's the Holy Spirit of promise. And when you look into the Greek word used there for earnest, that's the same word used by Greeks today for engagement ring. Isn't that amazing? So our Lord's given us an engagement ring of sorts, the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's power, folks. So we need to understand this incredible price the Lord Jesus Christ paid for us to become his betrothed. And it's all right there. Another good verse to read is out of the book of Revelation. Read Revelation 19, verses 7 through 8. And I'm running out of time, so I can't read all these for you. We have to be ready, and we need some beauty treatments. We need to be the beautiful and pure bride for God's Son, Jesus Christ. And he's coming back. He's coming back, folks. This world's not our home, remember? We're just passing through. I say that every week, folks. So the church, all the believers collectively, are waiting for the return of their king, their Lord, and their groom, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, Israel, God's true chosen people, are out of place. There are usurpers in the land right now, folks. Jesus is still the Hebrew Messiah, the Messiah over all of Israel. And his promises to those chosen people are irrevocable. But the imposters right now involved in the politics in the Middle East are exactly that, usurpers. They're imitators. Remember, the Bible says, "Known unto God are his works from the beginning of creation." God gave this land to Israel through Abram and to his descendants. And God spoke to Abram, God spoke to Isaac, and God spoke to Jacob. And these three men were all given a promise. And that promise was the land of Canaan. And you can read about this in Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. Genesis 28, verse 13 through 14. And then you could wrap it all up in Psalm 105. Read verses 6 through 11. It can't be more plain, folks. God's given that land, that holy land, to his people, Israel. And don't even get me going on the difference between a Jew and a Hebrew, an Israelite and a Jew. I could go on and on about this, but the people of Israel belong, the true people of Israel belong in the land Israel. And God's promise is very clear on that. Now, I have a lot of information on this, but I'm just going to wrap this section up with Psalm 122, verse 6, that says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." So if you want to prosper, do as God says and bless his chosen people. Just make sure you understand who his chosen people are, okay? So I'm telling you, God has this everlasting love for his chosen people, Israel. Read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Read Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Take your notes here, folks, because I'm out of time. Read Romans chapter 9, verse 27. So we have to have the groom with his bride. We have to have the rightful of owner of Israel in their land, possessing their promised land. And then thirdly, Satan is out of place because a criminal belongs to be in prison. And right now, the Bible teaches that Satan is roaming this earth like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's a school of prophecy out there called amillennialism, and it says that Satan's already been chained. But just look around, folks. Do you think he's chained? Well, if so, he's got a mighty long chain around his neck. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 9, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, this word wickedness has a masculine ending, and it can be also translated as the whole world lies in the wicked one, and the wicked one is none other than Satan. So Satan has this world in his arms right now. Spirit of Satan is at work through the people of this world. You know, you're never going to get order out of this world as long as Satan's spirit's working, and that's my point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So all these people doing all these nefarious things, from the pedophilia to this drive for the New World Order to the poisoning through the vaccines, it's all the children of disobedience working in the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. You see how this is fitting together? So what's wrong with the people of the world today? Well, they're possessed by the spirit of Satan. This isn't my word, folks. This is God's word. The world stumbles around in darkness, and this darkness has been orchestrated by none other than the prince of darkness and the prince of confusion, Satan himself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And this is why the World Economics Forum fear-driven baton march, the Great Reset, is so effective, because people's eyes have been blinded to the truth. Even smart, educated, intelligent people, they're still ignorant to the truth, folks. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Remember, fear is to Satan, folks, what faith is to God. And without faith, it is literally impossible to please God. Now, praise the Lord, because Satan isn't always going to have this run of the world, so to speak. There's a time coming, and it's coming soon, when he's going to be cast to where he belongs, and that's in prison. Read Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Now, I hear people talk about the devil being in hell, but right now the devil is not in hell. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, but he will be put in hell. But there's not going to be any true world order until this usurper, Satan himself, is put in prison. And there will be no world order until the bridegroom is with, the bride is with the groom, I should say. The owner is in their land. And finally, the king, Jesus, is on his throne. And that's how I want to wrap this message up, folks. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this world has no room right now for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world treats him as an outcast in government, in education, in society, and even an outcast in religion. You know, my nephew was talking to Terry the other day, and he's a manager at a hotel up in Dubois. And he just told a couple, God bless you, after he checked them in or checked them out, and they were offended by it, and they called management and complained that he was pushing his religion on them for saying, God bless you. Man has enthroned and enshrined himself in a material kingdom. You know, we're working for things that won't last. We're treasuring things that won't last. The king is not on his throne. People simply don't want Jesus to be their Lord. Psalm 2 is so powerful in this matter. And that's what I promised you at the beginning of the show. It speaks of a time when the king's going to be put on his throne. And listen to what it says in verses 4 and 5 concerning those who cast away the Lord Jesus Christ and say they don't want anything to do with our king. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So when God speaks in his wrath, and boy, I don't want to be around for that, folks. That's the great tribulation, the battle of Armageddon. And then listen to verse 6 out of Psalm 2. Yet I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Now there's one word there, yet. So the king is not yet there, but God says, I'm going to put the king there on my holy hill. I love that word, yet. It means in spite of all the ranting of the atheists out there, all the scorn of the humanists, the ignorance of men like Noah Yuval Harari, and the scheming of Satan himself, and all of his minion from the WEF and the WHO and all their other alphabet soup agencies of the NGOs, and all they can do, yet God is still going to put his king upon the holy hill, amen? So the kingdom of this world are being moved around all over the board, the strategic board of politics, like checkers. But soon God's going to put his move. He's going to take his son into the king's row. This Jesus Christ, who now is viewed as nothing but a lowly pawn in a godless world. And they're going to say, crown him. And I'm telling you, folks, he's going to be the king of Zion. And I can't wait. So you and me and all who believe ought to be looking forward to this. And we really do when we pray. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. But that prayer hasn't been answered yet, and all you have to do is look around to see that. We are living in chaos and confusion. But it will come, folks. Thy kingdom will come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God will answer that prayer. Why do you think he taught us to pray like that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he said, I am going to put my king upon my holy hill in Zion. So Jesus is going to be put on that throne, and he's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, if you don't agree, God have mercy on your soul, folks. But the bride belongs with her groom. The owner belongs in their land. The criminal, Satan himself, belongs in hell, which was made for him and his angels. And the king, that's the King Jesus, belongs on his throne on that holy hill in Zion. And then, and only then, are we going to have a new world order. When the king's on his throne, folks. And there's a lot of people out there who don't agree with what we just covered here. And they're going to take exception with everything I said in these 4 points. But you know what? I read a story once about Babe Ruth, one of the most famous ball players of all time. He was at the very peak of his career in a ballpark filled with, I think it was like 40,000 people. He came up to bat. And the first pitch came over the plate. He swung, never swung, and the umpire said strike. Next one came, and he swung, and he missed it. And the umpire said strike two. And then the third pitch came over, and he never swung. And the umpire said strike three, you're out. Babe turned and looked at the umpire, and he said, you know, there are 40,000 people in these stands who would say that was a ball. And the umpire, without blinking or hesitating, said, yes, but mine's the only opinion that counts. So no matter what all these naysayers may say, there's only one whose opinion truly counts. And that's the author of the Word made flesh himself, God Almighty. I can't wait for the time when the Lord comes and we're going to have a new world order, his new world order, when the church and Israel and Satan and Jesus are all in their rightful places. And just as Isaac Watts wrote in that one powerful hymn, Jesus shall reign where the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom spread from shore to shore till moons shall wax and wane no more. So this is all going to have a good ending, folks. And I pray that you're on the winning side. And you're on the winning side if you love and serve Jesus. And if you don't and you want to, all you have to do is put your hands up in the air right now and say, forsaking all, I trust you, Lord Jesus. I trust you. Please, Lord. Save me. And I believe, as the word says, that he has begun the process of your salvation. If you need to know more on this, email me, folks. But until next week, in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in, no, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power lives in you and me if we simply surrender and believe. I love you all. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus.
Oh, in the-